It's time to talk about food and drink and restaurants and cooking and kitchens and food shows on TV and lots more. It's Food Talk STL with David Craig on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Hey, good morning and welcome to our show here about eating and drinking and cooking and restaurants and bars and food media and stuff like that. It's Food Talk STL. I'm David Craig. You don't have to be a foodie, you know, quote-unquote foodie, to listen to the show. If you are, that's cool. You know, if you dine out three times a day or three times a week or three times a month or three times a year or whatever, you know, we welcome everybody to the party here. We talk every week about food-related things. We have a website for our show. It's foodtalkstl.com. We're on Twitter, at Food Talk STL. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, at David Craig STL. Email address for the show, foodtalkstl@yahoo.com. And we're going to intro our guests here in a second. Let me mention a couple of things here quickly. First, I have reviews of movies on my movie website, which is davidcraigmovies.com. We have reviews of Lincoln, Breaking Dawn Part 2, Lincoln Slow, written like a stage play, but Daniel Day-Lewis is terrific. Breaking Dawn Part 2, bit of an anticlimax after all that happened in Part 1, but, you know, if you're a Twilight fan, you're going to be there. Great movie in the pipeline to look for here soon, Silver Linings Playbook. That's one you got to see. It's coming, I think it opens in St. Louis next Wednesday. Let's see, there's a lot of concern on Facebook this week about the fate of the Twinkie. I'm wondering if people, I remember Elaine Bennis on the Seinfeld show, you know, who had those contraceptive sponges and was looking for boyfriends who were sponge-worthy. You know, are people going to look for family members and friends who are Twinkie-worthy, you know, and kind of stash them away? Let's see what else is going on here. Starbucks is buying Teavana. We'll see how that works out. And Thanksgiving is upcoming, and we want to say, just offer a word of, we have some strange crosstalk on our audio, don't we, there? Okay, there it goes. Thank you. We want to offer our good wishes to everybody who is working on Thanksgiving Day, whether you're in the food industry, retail, media, whatever. Just want to say that your efforts are appreciated. Okay, now let's welcome our guests to the show. And let's go. Well, we'll start here with you. It's Becky Jacobs.
Hi,
from
David.
Serendipity Ice. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
You supply ice cream to how many restaurants in town?
Over 100.
And
restaurants, clubs, hotels.
And it's delicious. I had some of your stuff last night. I went to Acero. We had the salted caramel with the chocolate tort. And then they brought out, what have you brought here?
I brought treats, because I always bring treats.
Oh, good. Okay.
For all my friends here.
We'll
keep talking. I'll try not to.
Okay.
I have no idea what these are. I just said, here, bring over a bunch of ice cream.
So. And then we had some of that super chocolate stuff. What's it called? The really chocolate?
Gold Coast chocolate.
Gold Coast chocolate.
Yeah, that's the throwback to the old Velvet Freeze.
Okay. It was really good.
Thank you.
But you're also a foodie. You kind of
eat out. We're in the three times a day category at my house.
But and not just your clients, but you know you're pretty
mostly
well
clients, but not always 100% clients.
Okay, and here we have Marianne Moore, who is what's your official title there at the new Deerbergs?
I am the culinary event center chef for Deerbergs in De Pere.
It's a brand new store. It's beautiful. It's kind of, I think it's kind of like a destination grocery store.
Absolutely, it is.
I mean, for people, even if you have a Deerbergs elsewhere, you need to come by and check those out.
You do.
You've got a beautiful school of cooking up there, which is now your setting for the new Deerbergs quarterly Everybody Cooks TV show.
Yes, it's the new set. Lots of fun.
You got one in the can, and when will that air?
Do you know? It will air on December 3rd on Channel 4 at 7:30 at night.
Okay, good. It usually runs on Monday night, so there you go. 7:30, Monday, December 3rd. And you also have, as well as you and Barb, you're now the co-host of the show with Barb.
I am. New co-host.
And y'all had a special guest on there.
We did. It was quite a fun time for my first Everybody Cooks. And we had Tyler Florence in the kitchen. So pretty
Very
awesome.
Cool.
He's got a great new line of wines that we carry at the store. And so he was promoting the wines, doing a little bit of cooking with us. Pretty great thing for St. Louis.
And to your right and my left is Michael Renner, who is restaurant reviewer for Sauce Magazine. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That microphone is not working. Let's try it again. Say it again.
Good morning.
There
Glad
you go.
To be back.
There you go. Wonderful. I don't think, Matt, our producer, I don't think he could quite see
me.
You there. You're kind of like hidden
away,
from
yeah.
him. And by the way, the November issue of Sauce is pretty fantastic with all that bread stuff in there.
Isn't that cool?
It's a greater, I mean, the issue is usually great, but this is an especially great one. Your review in there is that the perennial?
Yes. Perennial, artisan ales, yeah.
And you reviewed not just their beer, but also their food.
Mostly their food, yeah, yeah. And now, were you smart enough to turn the issue over, because that's where the holiday guide is, on the back?
It's the first time
we've ever done that.
I didn't do that all the I remember Mad Magazine did that
right.
Back in the 60s a time or two. You know, a special upside-down, backwards issue.
Right.
Is that where you all got the idea?
I have no idea, because I didn't even know to do that until I was reading in the magazine. It said, oh, somewhere deep in the articles, it turned the magazine over, and I went, oh, wow. Because I also wrote the Gifts for Food Snobs.
Okay,
in there too.
I skimmed that. I didn't really look at all that, but I will. I will now. And no, it's kind of a nice thing to do, because sometimes you get those special inserts,
right.
And you guys do it, and RFT, and people, and you pull that out, and you lay that aside, and then you misplace it. Well, we are going to talk about a variety of topics. We have the big holiday coming up here, Thanksgiving on Thursday, and I'll ask each of you cook, right?
I do, yes.
Marianne is an awesome cook. She posts the most amazing recipes.
But you do cook, Becky.
On occasion.
And Michael, you cook.
Yeah.
Okay, Thanksgiving is coming up, and I know Post-Dispatch on Wednesday had a lot of interesting side dishes. Wall Street Journal today does. Bon Appetit did. Do you guys do, I'll start with you, Marianne,
okay.
Do you do just the traditional, or do you mess around with things on Thanksgiving every year?
Well, I actually go outside the box and play around with things in a traditional way. I just put a spin on it. So sweet potatoes, I may do a praline topping with it. I kind of stay away from the whole marshmallow thing. but here's
good.
A funny thing is, over the last probably 3 or 4 days, I've received so many pictures. There's a picture that's circulating right now on Facebook and on the internet of a turkey that has a bacon weave, the basket weave bacon topping.
I so want that.
Well, the funny thing is, anybody that knows me knows that I absolutely, all things pork. I love pork, mm-hmm. I love bacon, all of that. So I have to say, and I'm going to throw this out there, I actually did that last year to my turkey.
Oh, you put bacon with your turkey?
I wrapped the whole thing in bacon. Yes.
And how was it?
It was the most amazing thing I've ever had in my life. And I always say it's turkey, bacony, amazing goodness. It was phenomenal because you don't have to baste it. All of the
right.
the
mm.
fat renders, and it just slowly melts over that turkey.
Do you leave the skin on the bird?
I do. Absolutely. You bet.
How much bacon?
Oh, gosh, there's never too much bacon. I think I probably used about 3 pounds.
Well, but most of the things I have read, we're dealing more, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, we won't mess with the turkey too much. We'll do all
sure.
these side dishes.
Sure.
How about you, Michael? Now, are you cooking turkey dinner, or are you going to somebody's
no.
house?
No. So every year I go back to my folks' house in Kansas City, and the family comes in for all that. And usually it's my father and I and maybe some other folks who are taking over to the kitchen to organize it, because my mother has a tendency to love all these great recipes she gets out of magazines, and then she'll often just cut out half the recipe and just say, hey, go make this, and then we're caught on step 5 and then she and it's a little chaotic, so we instill some order, and the turkey's usually pretty basic. I like, I did see that sides article in the Post-Dispatch, and I love doing roasted Brussels sprouts, so every year I'm probably going to do some Brussels sprouts with bacon and shallots or something, you know, simple that looks elegant but is so easy and delicious.
Hey, Becky, would you
yes.
like to chime in on this topic?
Well, first let me say that we go to Thanksgiving at my sister's, and I happen to know, if she turned on her radio because I told her we were going to be here this morning, that she's listening, and she does an amazing job with Thanksgiving. So shout out to Debbie. She does a great job with Thanksgiving. We tend to keep it pretty traditional. We have all ages of people. So we do, you know, the basic turkey. Sometimes sometimes she'll put it out on the grill and cook it. We do go with the sweet potatoes and marshmallow things because some traditions you just can't not have, right? But she puts nuts in there, too. So it's kind of a little of both. But, yeah, we're pretty traditional. For years and years growing up, my father used to like this thing where you'd buy the cranberry sauce that's the shape of the can.
Right.
Yeah. And we'd slice that, and we'd put a slice of pineapple with a hole in the middle on top of that, and that was served on the dinner table. And for years, my sister, at the end of the night, would be throwing out a whole platter of that. So we finally got rid of that and have come up with a new cranberry dish.
I am not a real big fan of that big chunk of, that big glob of cranberry sauce, but the people in my family, that's, you know, they love it, so we'll have
it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like, you know, just a different kind of...
Well,
I mean,
cranberries are the biggest, usually causes the most...
Angst.
And I, over the years, have tried to introduce new types of cranberry dishes, fresh cranberries with, you know, mandarin oranges or
nuts
or whatever.
Oh, that's my favorite, Michael. That's my favorite.
And just slowly. And my mother also loves having real mashed potatoes that have absolutely no peel whatsoever.
Amen.
Which I've been trying to get her off of because I don't like peeling the things.
Okay.
And then mashing all the stuff.
Throw in a little garlic and other things there with your with your mashed potatoes. No, go ahead.
Once you've had real fresh cranberry sauce, like made with real cranberries, it's the most amazing thing ever. It's like a whole other dish. It's like canned versus fresh asparagus. They're not even the same critter.
I cook my cranberries in port. So
pork?
I do
again with pork, Marianne?
Pork. No,
I'm so pouring over. That's my other favorite thing.
Yeah, I cook my cranberries in port and orange zest and just a little bit of sugar, and it actually does. Michael's writing this down. It's awesome.
My gosh!
So basically, I just cook them in port, add some orange zest to it, a little bit of sugar, and everything as the cranberries pop starts to kind of solidify and gel a bit. Best cranberry sauce you'll ever have. And so simple.
Marianne,
I
tasted that. I'm going to reveal something here. My wife is working at the Dierberg School of Cooking in De Pere. And you all, I guess last Sunday, did a Thanksgiving thing.
We did.
And that was the sauce you're speaking of.
We did. I did a Thanksgiving for rookies class. So what I did was a Thanksgiving dinner in about 2.5 hours from start to finish, which was really fun, but it also taught people my class that you don't have to do it that way. Everyone thinks that they have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and it's this kamikaze marathon of cooking. And there's so many things that you can do ahead and make it easy for yourself to be able to do those Thanksgiving things. So, yeah, we did the cranberries and the port and the sweet potatoes with the caramelized pecans on the top. Lots of fun stuff. Yeah.
Hey, if you're just punching in, this is Food Talk STL, our weekly show about eating and drinking on 590 The Fan, KFNS. Where we have Illinois football this afternoon versus Purdue, pregame show at 2 and kickoff sometime after 2:30. Okay, we'll get back to Thanksgiving in a moment with our guests, Becky Jacobs of Serendipity Ice Cream, Marianne Moore of Dierberg School of Cooking at the new store in De Pere, and Michael Renner of Sauce Magazine. And Michael, there was a review posted online this week, and it's on the New York Times website, and I'm sure in their actual print edition on Tuesday, of Guy Fieri of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives fame, of his restaurant. He has 11 restaurants around the country. Just opened one in Times Square, and it was a scathing but hilarious review. What'd you think of that?
It was. So I read that in the Wednesday edition of the paper, and I'm reading through it, and every, as people don't know, the whole review was 30-some questions. Mm-hmm. That's all it was. And so I found that just as a food writer, as a restaurant reviewer, I found that, okay, that's an interesting technique. I don't know if I really like it. I think I'd get really bored with it. I mean, I got bored reading through most of it. What I found most interesting about that whole thing is just the amount of attention, national attention it drew. I mean, I was shocked that then Guy Fieri, you know, takes an overnight flight from California to New York to be on the Today Show broadcast from his restaurant. It hit NPR, and part of me just thinks that's ridiculous. I mean, I just thought, why do we spend this much time, and why does anyone even care about a bad review of a restaurant of a celebrity chef? I mean, yeah.
But I saw it shared on Twitter and Facebook by a lot of people who aren't, you know, quote-unquote foodies, but they just actually, they saw that review and they thought, this is very interesting and entertaining. Marianne Moore, you saw it.
I did. I saw it, and, you know, I just think that it's interesting that we find that so easy to do that to these celebrity chefs. I mean, is it because, I guess my question was, is it because he's all over? Is it because he's a celebrity chef that he's an easy target, so to speak? Do people find it so easy to criticize that? And then on the flip side, doesn't he realize that being a celebrity chef, putting yourself out there, sets yourself up for things like that, too? So, you know, I see both sides of it. I just thought, you know, I think it's easier sometimes for people to hide behind a keyboard, too, and be very confrontational instead of addressing things head on. You know, let's be honest and fair about it instead of trying to take pot shots behind a computer.
Well, he did say that he had visited the restaurant four separate occasions and then had all those issues. Becky, did you happen to see the review?
No, because I've been running my business lately.
I've been making ice cream.
Actually, the truth of the matter is I was at ice cream camp last week.
Oh, I saw you posted that. Where was that?
Greenville, South Carolina.
Was it fun?
Surprisingly, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I got online to see what kind of trouble I could get into in South Carolina, and really there wasn't any, so I was not looking forward to it. But yes, it was very fun. I saw all my ice cream friends from all over the country. I went to see The Who. I ate some ice cream. It was fabulous. We had a great time.
Well, now, Guy Fieri was in the neighborhood back in the summer over at Highway 61 Roadhouse.
He was at several of my friends and customers, actually. He was at Highway 61. He was at Shave Duck.
Did he stop by your place for a sundae?
What
is wrong with him?
You know, hey. I've only been open 10 years. I have several other friends in town who've been open way longer than me that get the public press.
But here's the thing about that review. So many people, not only in New York, but across the country, who travel to New York, it's a big holiday destination, they now know that Guy Fieri has a restaurant in Times Square.
That's true.
They know some of the things that are on the menu, and they know that probably it's, you know, they're going to work to try to get better, right?
And if they're going to look for that, he had that margarita on
was
there.
Was it like the bright blue?
Yeah. So I just read on Eater that he has removed that. A nuclear waste margarita or whatever it's called. So he has removed that.
Well, a few years ago, a local restaurateur I spoke to shortly after one of his restaurants got a pretty bad review. And I won't give the details, but I said to him, I said, well, what are you going to do about that? He said, I'm going to call the guy and ask him how bad it really was. Because, you know, sometimes we can all use a little critique every now and then. And if somebody says something, you say, you either say, well, that's a load of crap, or you say, well, maybe they're making a point here.
Well, you know, for being a restaurant reviewer, writer for these things, if you're going to give a negative review, you really have to have your reasons lined out very clearly, because the last thing you really want to do is kind of be snarky and mean about it. And I've seen those before. You want to offer good criticism. I mean, no restaurant really, I think, deserves 100% negative review. It's just very difficult.
Well, if it's that bad, just, you know, go
Don't
on to somebody
it.
Else. Yeah. Hey, we need to take a break. We are broadcasting from the Bomarito Automotive Group Studios here at 590 The Fan.